Welcome back to The Nigerian Filmmaker. This is a podcast for us to talk about Nigerian filmmakers, their films, and how we can build a diverse and functional industry. I'm your host, Selegot. On this episode, my guest is Jasmine Hudson Wright. She's an actress, writer, and entrepreneur. She has featured in films like Drawing Strength and Merry Men, and also Sons of the Caliphate. We talk about her process, her hopes for the industry, and finally my short film Golden Rule, in which she was the lead character in. If you're a new listener, you're welcome and I hope you enjoy. Hi Jasmine, welcome to The Ninja Filmmaker.
Hello Sele, glad to be on it.
So can you tell us a bit more about yourself?
Okay, my name is Jasmine Hudson Wright. I'm a Lagosian, I'm Nigerian. My Yoruba name is Folike, but I hardly use it because people mess it up. I'm an actor professionally. I used to work in the corporate world, but then I left the corporate world for acting and just pursuing my creative side. So I blog, I write. I write for sites, I write for Bella Ninja, and I also have a blog for myself. I'm an entrepreneur, so I have an online jewelry store where I retail jewelry. I mean, as a Nigerian, you have to do a lot of things to just...
Yeah, you have to have that side hustle.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you discover this creative side?
Okay, so for acting, no, I didn't always want to act. I didn't even... To be fair, and for lack of a better word, I didn't care about acting personally. So basically, the first ever acting job I did was an accident, and I didn't plan to act. I just went there to support the production team that I kind of already knew. And while I was there, I don't quite remember what happened or why I took one of the audition slips, papers, and went through the character, but I did. I think the director made me do it like for fun or something.
Yeah.
And I did. And the writer, the screenwriter for the series was there, or the story was there. And immediately I auditioned. She said, you know what? I have something for you. I have a character in mind for you. And that was it. That's how I got to play the first one. And even when I was done doing that particular show, I didn't still think, oh, acting is for me. Aha, I'm going to be on an actor and all of that now.
Yeah.
It was, I can summarize it to unconscious steps that I had in my own personal life, just trying to find out who I was and just going ahead with God. Just that is, it was more like a spiritual thing that I just knew that, okay, I had to. And at some point I just decided, you know what? I'm going to do this. And I left my job and then I started pursuing acting deliberately. Yeah.
What productions have you been on? What films?
Okay, so the first one, which is The Sons of the Caliphate, that's it's on Netflix right now, so you can check it out. It's Ebony Live. Private Lies. Merry Men, but the Yoruba Demons, Fourth Republic, I've done stage, Trials of Brother Jero. Drawing Strength, it's on YouTube, so anybody can watch that, Drawing Strength.
Okay.
And a couple of others that I can't remember off my head right now.
So you recently moved from Abuja to Lagos. Why did you make that move?
There's something I'm noticing about my life. It's never really about a choice I make, like a deliberate choice. Everything I have done so far in terms of my creative pursuing or just acknowledging that, okay, this is where I am supposed to be at in the creative world. I will not just leave Abuja, my convenience, and just go to Lagos, because you know how the auditions are in Lagos. You hear about them while you're in Abuja. It's crazy. So what's the guarantee that you actually leave Abuja, come here, and actually get a spot? But again, like I said, most of the decisions I started making in terms of my creative, they're not deliberate, but then when I did make them, I was sure that I was supposed to make them. So I came to Lagos for the audition, And from that audition, waiting for another, I mean, waiting for the callback. Basically, when you audition, you wait for the feedback and everything, and they'll call you back or stuff. While waiting for that, I said, okay, you know what, me and my friend, why don't we just keep doing more auditions here while we're waiting? Because it took a bit for them to get back to us.
Yeah.
So you do that audition, they call you back, then you have to wait for them to, I mean, also give you like a final verdict whether, oh, you're doing the character or whatever, all of that. So I think I had done a number of auditions being in Lagos, which I was waiting for feedback, that didn't allow me to just go back. If I even wanted to go back to Abuja, somebody would call, one production would call and say, okay, we're calling you back or something. And it was while I was in that whole, that whole, are you here, are you there, that I started making a little bit of deliberate decisions being in Lagos. I started a business, that's my jewelry line, the online jewelry store. I started networking with people that I never would have thought I would have networked with while I was in Abuja. I started meeting people that I wouldn't see on a normal in Abuja, because I mean, Lagos is a hub, you get.
Wow.
But I think it was while I was doing that, while those processes were going on step by step, day by day, month by month, I knew that I needed to be here. Again, I'm a Lagosian, but I'm not one of the people that used to believe that you have to come to Lagos to make it. Nah. I never was party to that. But I'm one of the people that believes that as long as God has made it clear to you that this is where you're supposed to be, then there's no disputing it. I'm not the kind of person that believes that you need to leave any place you are, be it Abuja or wherever, to come to Lagos to make it. But at the time I decided to stay in Lagos, it was because I had a clear conviction and confirmation that this was where I was supposed to be. So I do believe that even chasing your creative, as long as God says this is where you should be, that is where you should be. And that's why I decided to just stay back here and literally just build here. Even though home is still Abuja, my family house is still Abuja, but then I'm now in Lagos, basically.
Yeah. Was that decision worth it?
So far, yeah, it is. But initially, it wasn't easy because, like I said, I'm leaving my comfort zone. I had gotten used to a number of directors in Abuja. I'm not there yet, but I feel like there was a certain I had already created a kind of niche for myself while I was in Abuja. So I would go for productions, and being on that production, another producer would know me. So I wasn't strange in Abuja, you get. But yeah, Coming to Lagos, it's a different ballgame. Nobody knows me. So you have to go for the auditions. In Abuja, I almost had this stop. I almost wasn't going for audition. I hardly even went for auditions anymore. It was more based on recommendation.
Yeah.
But then when I came to Lagos, I had to go for auditions. Again, it just made me, it was good. I think that shift from Abuja to Lagos was good because I believe that at some point I would have gotten comfortable. So it made me know that there's no level I get to that I can't say I will never audition. Like, you would want to get bigger roles and you need to audition for them. So that opened my eyes to what is important in this art that we're chasing. So yeah, it has been worth it because I have learned along the way. I have met people. I have met amazing actors, thespians, and just creatives while here in Lagos. I've collaborated with a couple of them who are like me also.
Yeah.
And then I have networked with people, other production. So I've started creating my own niche here in Lagos as well. So it's been great.
Can you tell us your most stressful audition experience?
One in Lagos. I went. It was supposed to be an African Magic audition. And like I said, the auditions are crazy. You have to come early enough. But this was strange because it wasn't stressful. It was just strange because people had come the day before to start writing names for an audition that was the next day. So we happened to just want to check that area before the auditions in the morning because we're not conversant with the area. So we had to go to the main. It was on the mainland. Go to the mainland and stay with people new on the mainland. So before the morning, we wanted to just see, okay, how far are they? Let's just go around there. We need to see people already lined up, writing names.
Uh-huh.
They will write their name in nightgown. write their name and go back home to come in the morning.
Yeah.
That was extremely weird and strange for me. But and at that time, at the day before, I was like 100 and something, and auditions were the next day.
Yeah.
So that was weird. Okay, so I've had to go to Benin for an audition, which I never would have thought I would do. So yeah, that. And like I said, I'm not one person who sees, like, who considers anything too stress. Like, there are a lot of things that come that would be stressful or tiring.
Yeah.
But it's so easy for me to pick the good in stuff or just see as a lesson or be optimistic about it. So I can't really remember anyone right now that I would say, oh, it was so stressful. I just know that I've gone to strange auditions that would have started the day before. I mean, that's supposed to be for one day, and then you go there a day before and people already lined up writing names,
yeah,
which is very weird. And I've been to Benin. Yeah, basically that's it, I guess.
Okay, so there are different types of directors. There are the ones that are very technical and they are mostly around the camera, and then there are the directors that talk through character motivations with the actor. What have you noticed?
Okay, so I find that most of the directors I've worked with, most of the films I have done, the directors are usually full circle. They are very grounded, yeah, in terms of they're the technical directors who will follow through every technicality, like the behind the camera, they're checking sound, they're just very involved. As much as they are also relative with the actor, in this case, me and all of that. You know, the Nigerian film industry is very challenging. So even a day on set is crazy. You could have everything planned out. You could have your table out and you just shoot one scene at the end of the day. Yeah. And you're supposed to shoot, let's say, 3, 4, 5, basically. So with these kind of directors, it makes it easier for you to go through those processes. And it doesn't feel like I said, I feel like that's a blessing. It doesn't feel like a stress. It doesn't feel like, oh, I'm doing so much work here. And they also build relationships to some extent. So I've worked with a lot of directors that I'm still talking to right now that still recommend me for jobs,
yeah,
that are kind of involved in my process, that I could boldly say that the testimony that I am right now is because of them. Because they never really just let go, you get.
Yeah.
So I know that people have said things about directors who probably want to sleep with you, or directors who are just straightforward to one thing, or they just want to act. They don't want to give you. They're not full circle, like I said, like I used the word. But I haven't had that experience. Yeah? And I noticed that every director I've worked, even you, even though we didn't. As at the time we did them Golden Rule, I didn't know you so much. You just came. I basically was commended to you, right? I believe that the way we walked, or with the way you were willingly open, kind of vulnerable to some extent, it allowed there to be a even if it's not serious, a mild relationship, a mild network, a mild connection. I could be in Abuja and I come to the office, I see you.
Yeah.
Or you have a short shoot you want to do, you buzz me. Like, there's no, it doesn't have to be a formal, oh, I'm pleased, I have a project, what would you have, what would be involved, what would you need? No, it's just a flow, because you, on that set, you were able to, you didn't know me and there was no relationship, but you were vulnerable enough to observe, maybe, I don't know whether to observe or to listen, to just be, I don't know, just, I guess it's the vulnerability. I guess that's it for you, because that's the only one I can say, you get. So I have been privileged to have good directors, really, to work with really amazing directors that know their job, that are very involved in the process, and as well committed to the art in itself. That's the talent and everything that's involved with that production, yeah.
So I guess with acting, you know, sometimes you get a minor role, sometimes you get a leading role. What's your process when you're preparing for a leading role?
So first of all, my own, it's like a rule, or like a motto, or maybe like it's just something I go by. There's no role that is small for me.
Yeah.
Because at every point, no matter what it is, I've done a couple of extra roles in this industry, and by extra I mean They just want you to sit down one place and look pretty. Yeah. You get, that would have been the description. But I don't, if I decide to be on that production, I don't just enter, go on any production. It's not because I am there yet, but because I understand my journey, I understand where I want to be.
Yeah.
And gratefully so, the productions that have come to me are productions that I would willingly want to be on, you get. I would not choose against them. So even if it's a minor role, and I know this is what I'm about to do, and or it's a leading role, what I always do is, so if I'm, let me give an example. I've played lead and I had to act like a South African lady.
Yeah.
I'm not South African. I'm Nigerian. I'm Lagosian. I'm a Yoruba girl. I don't know the accent, what demeanor is like, what their how just the personality. There's something that defines every nationality, you get. So I don't know that, but I would go on YouTube. I have a notebook where I would listen to maybe South African short skit. You know, when you're reading, studying for English, basically what is this in South Africa, what is was, how they say was, and all of those kind of things. There are a lot of those things on YouTube. For a minor role, I might not have to do that, because minor roles or extra roles are very straightforward. Either a bystander or a neighbor or just sitting out somewhere, or just, you might not need to do that.
Yeah.
But one thing that is common to both of them is, if you tell me that this is my character, I'm going to develop a personality for that character. So I've played a lady at the bank that's a merriman. I played a lady at the bank who is someone is supposed to be fancying. And that can be very easy to do. But I had to decide that character has a name. They didn't give me a name for that character. They didn't give me any, it was just be there. But in my head, I gave that character a name. I can't remember right now, but let's say I gave it a Kemi. Kemi will probably sit down like this. She'll probably cross her leg.
Yeah.
Or she'll probably put her bag on the right. Nobody knows that this is what's going on in my head. But I just feel like I don't want to be that person where you're watching my movie and you're seeing me in all of the movies you get. And it can only start from the mind. So that's a minor role. Now, for the lead roles, I've understudied the character, where they are from, South Africa, and all of that. Okay, so what's Lindy Way like? Does she chew gum? Does she always say K? It's not in the script, but they're the underlining things that would just take me away. Like, I will be the character because I'm acting it, but it would take me for Luke from that character. Like, it would strip for Luke from that character. So you're not watching it for Luke, literally.
So there are different approaches to acting, like the Stanislavski emotional memory, the method acting. What are your thoughts?
So I would be lying if I say I understand perfectly the Stanislavski approach, yeah. But I do know method acting, and I know what you mean by the emotional bit. So basically, for me, there's a lot to learn. I'll start with that. There's a lot to learn, but one thing I know that so far I have done, or I can give myself a little bit of credit, is I don't joke with this craft. As much as people just want to be on the screen, and no, that's not me. I don't joke with my craft. And so I do really, really appreciate method actors. I appreciate method acting, because it's not a lot of, especially in Nigeria here, we have a lot of people who are not even actors, first of all. Then we have actors that you see on the screen every day, and you see them. Like, in terms of method acting, first of all, know your character. So, okay, this is one thing. This is one thing I learned from someone. His name is Goldfish Dami. I didn't learn it from him. I knew it, but then he kind of resounded it in my mind being on set. We used to be on set, and I think 5 minutes before set, or like 10 or 15 minutes before set, I think it's 15 minutes before set.
Yeah.
He faces out. He literally, I don't want to be, if I'm going to be joking, normally, once I know that we're about to start, 15 minutes, he's out. And he doesn't necessarily need to be out of the building or the premise or where the action is going on. But he's no longer in that spot with you. So if he's supposed to, obviously, and I knew that, but then it keeps reminding me, that action he did, that particular scene we had, it just sticks in my head. So every time I'm about to go on set, like, when before they say action, no matter what is going on, if everybody is laughing, I would just be zoned out.
Yeah.
Because that 15 minutes is what you used to take to remember, okay, this is the scene. What exactly is informing this scene? What is my mood in this scene? How am I supposed to deliver the scene? Because it's one thing to read the line, understand, and have it in your head. And it's another thing to actually give the emotion of that scene.
Uh-huh.
And every scene has an emotion. Even if it's a dialogue, if it's an angry one, if it is supposed to be a like an internal kind of feeling that you can't really speak out. But
yeah,
when whatever you're doing should show it. That 15 minutes would like helps prep you up, keeps you on check. Yeah?
Yeah.
So that's one thing. Two, I've cut my hair for a production before. I mean, not everybody can do that. Not everybody would do that. Some
yeah.
people don't believe that, or they need to go to that extent, especially in Nigeria. I understand, because in Nigeria they don't pay you for your craft. They don't actually pay you your worth. They don't even pay you anything close to your worth.
Yeah.
They don't even pay you anything close to what you are, the amount of work you are putting in. But we understand that, well, we're still getting there. So you want me to do a scene and I'm supposed to portray a lady that has my hair cut. Some people will not do that. They would rather either wear something on it to make it look like it's a haircut. But that's where you push it for method acting, because you are literally becoming that person.
Yeah.
I wish we pay more, but to be honest, we can only make do with what we can make do. So they told me, oh, I would, it wasn't even a command. It was more like we would, for this character, I think you should have your hair low because of what we want to portray. And at first I was like, okay, because my hair was low, but it wasn't as low as they wanted. They literally wanted it almost at my skull. But I thought about it again. I want to do this character. I want to actually bring this character to life. And there's something about costuming, down to not the actual clothes, costuming down to the appeal, the look, the facial look and all of that.
Yeah.
If you need to shave one eyebrow, that just gets you in sync with what you're trying to do. That's really method for me. So I can go to those lengths to deliver a character, especially when I consider everything. Because here, like I said, they don't actually pay your worth for acting.
Yeah.
I think as you keep growing, as you become a name, they try. But it's not like Hollywood where if you need to be fat for a scene, you will blow up because they will pay you for that blowing up.
Yeah.
So things like that. What else? Studying too, kind of studying. Like I said, research, that's part of it.
Yeah.
In terms of the emotional bit, I find it easy, but I've gotten used to being able to connect to an emotion that has happened in my own life.
Yeah.
Deliver an emotion in film.
So that's basically Stanislavski's method. Retrieve a memory and then you relieve it. So if you need to cry,
yes,
or if you need to be really enraged, you do that.
Yes. Yes, because another thing is, I don't mean to be condemning our industry because I'm part of it, but I've watched too many films, I've seen a couple of films where you are supposed to be hurt in a scene, not necessarily crying,
yeah,
but hurt, and that emotion is not portrayed. Hurt is portrayed as shouting, anger. Here, some people, hurt is portrayed as crying. It doesn't necessarily have to be that, and sometimes you can go to that extreme. But I feel like the only reason, I'm not perfect, but the only reason why that emotion will be portrayed well is if I can connect to an emotion that hurt me in real life. But I don't think it's going to be easy for everybody to do if you're not dedicated to this craft, because you connect to an emotion that takes you back to where you don't want to be, and you can lose yourself in that emotion there and forget the character. So that's why I started with, I think I have it kind of easy, or I've gotten used to being able to connect to something and render that emotion for a character without not being present where I am. And I guess I'll just keep growing like that. So those are the important things that at least for now would help you deliver any character and any emotion, any scene perfectly well, or according to how it's written. You get, yeah. I think so. Those are the methods I employ, though.
Okay. What are your thoughts on intimacy on set? What are your thoughts? How do you balance that in this industry?
Okay, so the first thing for me is, like I said, I didn't look for acting. I never thought, oh, I'm going to be an actor. My journey has started with God. So what influences how far I go is actually just God. And it might sound very cliche for anybody, because everybody says, oh, God, God, God first. But I know my journey. I know where I started from. I know that if it wasn't for that confirmation or that clear-cut thing in my spirit that made me know that this is what I should do and just how God is leading me, I wouldn't even be where I am today. I would probably still be in the corporate world doing what I need to do and all of that. So in terms of sex and intimacy and all of that, I'm very profound on... I don't do roles that expose that part for me, because that's not because of my belief.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, I don't judge anybody that does, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't, because that's, somebody will argue that that's actually method acting to render yourself completely. And it's just like when I was in the modeling world, they would say, are you not a model? Are you not a model? So because I'm a model, I have to subscribe to certain things. I have to be able to walk nude and all of that. But they're forgetting that what separates, because if you're going to go by, are you not an actor? Are you not a model? Then everybody should be the same person.
Yeah.
But everybody isn't the same person. Everybody's bringing a different dynamic. Everybody's bringing, so if a script is not going to work for me, then it doesn't work for me. It's fine. Somebody else can do it. So in terms of sex and intimacy and all of that, I don't do sexual roles. And I'm very particular about script. So now you're talking about a script that has you to, that needs you to maybe kiss or be close to somebody or act like it, basically.
Yeah.
Those kind of scripts are my own war. That's the truth. I'll be honest. Those are my own war. Those are my own battles.
Yeah.
I literally have to come back, internalize, pray about it, and be sure that this is what God wants me to do. Why? Because of the message of the script.
Yeah.
Now, I used to give this example. You see 12 Years a Slave. Somebody is going to look at that film and say, but you say you're God is leading you and you're a Christian and all of that, so you shouldn't do scripts that expose you and all of that. But do you see how deep that script is?
Yeah.
When you're watching the scene where you see Lupita nude or just barely wearing anything, because of the scene she's doing, you are not looking at the fact that she's nude. She's being stripped.
Uh-huh.
The idea of that scene is you don't have time to think, oh, wow, nice boobs, or, oh, your body's so hot. No, because what you're seeing is somebody being demoralized. You're seeing a slave. You're seeing the true story that has happened to Blacks in that time.
Yeah.
Those kind of scripts challenge that. They're scripts I would take to God and pray and say, God, is this what you want me to do? As long as I have that peace to do it. Because I'm about the message. I'm about what this thing is saying. What this movie about?
Yeah.
To be honest, that's really what I'm about. And I know that people have told me as I'm going that it's not every script that will be perfect. Not every script will be powerful. Some scripts you just because of money. When we get there, we will know, right? But for now, those are the only things that could make me think of being, like I said, I don't accept sexual roles. I don't do that.
Hmm.
That's out of it already. But those are the only kind of roles that would allow me to be vulnerable with my body, sort of to some extent. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a movie I was supposed to be on, but I opted out of it because of there was just a lot of rubbish for me that was going on that. But I was playing I was supposed to play an abused, I won't say slave per se, but it has to do with trafficking, basically.
Yeah.
So, and in trafficking, there's scenes where the traffickers abuse the girls they carry. And there was a scene that had to do with rape. And my character was supposed to be raped. And I'll tell you very well that before I opted out of that production, I actually did that scene. First of all, I'm not being raped. Right.
Yeah.
Second of all, I made it clear to the director, these this is how I roll. I don't, if you really want me to be on this project, as long as you want me to be on this project, I'm not going to expose my body. I'm not going to actually perform any intimate roles and all of that. But if you can make it work, then we're fine. And it was made work. It made so far so good, to the extent that I saw it was, you will believe it. You will know that this is happening. But I wasn't going through that in real life. You get? So yeah. As long as there's a communication and there's that kind of, you understand me. And like I said, it's not a by force thing. If I can't do it, I can't do it. Simple. Yeah. So that's it on that for me. That's it on intimacy, sexuality, vulnerability on my body and all of that. The message has to be, if I'm playing a married woman, yeah, there's some extents where I would be a little cozy with my husband or I would be intimate with my husband. Huh. As long as the film is driving a message that is, that's positive, or do you get that? Somebody will watch and they won't be thinking exactly about, oh, how this person is cuddling. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Okay. So are there some particular roles that you are looking forward to, you know, taking up? Like,
very
do
well.
You want to be a superhero?
Very well.
Yeah, so what are those?
Very well. See me, I'm even ready to shout, like, it's in my brain.
Uh-huh.
Marvel. I mean, Black Panther. Me and my friend, we're literally, as far as we're concerned, we're already there. Like, Nigeria is just holding us. We're already literally there, the new characters on Black Panther or any other thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
I want to do, right now, aside from that, which is still, we don't know how far, maybe in 2 years, maybe a year, if you don't think, I never know. I want to do like I want to be able to play a role that has, that challenges me physically. So I can fight, do combat, actual action. Where we get trained. And I know they do that. I know they can do that in Nigeria. And I know they do that in Nigeria. So any director listening to me, or you, if you know anybody that you can pitch, I'm very available. I'm very, see, and I'm working out. I have abs. Yeah. I'm ready.
No problem. Okay.
So yeah, and Hollywood, basically. I want to, because so far so good for us here, Hollywood is almost like a standard, you get to get to really be out there. But I don't want to be limited by Hollywood. I just want the world to see my art. I just want the world to know that this person is in this industry and she's doing well. Like, wherever you are, if it's Brazil, Spain, jungle, just, it's not really about Hollywood, but I know that that's where you need to get to kind of project. But God is above Hollywood, yeah.
So, let's talk about the golden rule. So we're supposed to shoot, was it February 2019? Then with the whole election, we had to push it with location problems. We had to push it. And then, we finally shot in March. And we made it work in 3 days, you know. And then in June, I released the film, you know, the whole countdown. It came on YouTube. And then you watched it, and then you called me in the evening. So let's talk about that. So before I actually released it, like, it was something that, you know, you're working on it and you're just seeing all these like really huge mistakes, and you're thinking, how am I going to resolve these things? I mean, it's not everything you can fix in post, you know. I feel you need to be able to, when people are watching film, they need to remove themselves, like forget reality. So, there are a lot of things that I was battling with. You know, I was like, how this film is turning out is not what I wanted it to turn out.
How you wanted it to be.
Yeah, this is not my taste. My taste is definitely higher than this.
Yeah.
So there's this thing, you know, like all of us are learning. And is it that, okay, as you're learning, everything you make while you're learning, you never show the world. You know, there's always that question. And for me, I actually contemplated not releasing this film, but everybody worked hard on it.
Yeah.
Some people, it was their first acting experience. And, you know, it's this kind of thing that it might help them in kind of landing other roles. So, I just decided to... I just decided to release it, even with its flaws.
Yeah.
So now, I would say the major challenges with the film was, one, there's some problems with sound that at the time I couldn't resolve. Yeah. And then for the location, we got it quite all right, but the agreement was kind of trade by barter. So I was actually paying for it. And, you know, when they...
You're at the mercy of the spot in itself.
Yeah, and I didn't want to, you know, piss off the people that gave us the location. So we needed the particular location. They said, yeah, we can't shoot there. So I thought I could shoot somewhere else. We went to shoot there and... Yeah, it ended up in the film, but it wasn't quite right.
Continuity. You
know? Yeah. So, let's get back to the call. So, you called me that evening and... Do you want to take it over from here?
No, honestly, I think the best person to talk about it is you, because, first of all, I don't... You know, aside from the conversation we had then...
Yeah.
Other than the conversation we had then, we haven't spoken about it anymore. We've met a couple of times. I've seen you in Abuja. I've had meetings with you guys. I've done, but it's not like we've, this is the first time that this is coming up again.
Yeah.
So to be honest, I know that, I know it was a conversation. I know it was not, it was a fluid conversation where I just expressed, okay, this is my concern and all of that.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it was to you.
Yeah. So, even before this film was released, myself and Amaka, the writer, we had this conversation. We knew the flaws. It's not like we were blind to it, you know. As I said, I decided, this thing is not perfect.
Yeah.
This thing might achieve something. I mean, it's not the perfect film, but I can use it to get money for another project and all that.
Okay.
But then, you called me and, you expressed your, what's the word I'll use?
My reservations.
Yeah, your reservations. And, you know, I listened to you for those... Was it up to 20 minutes?
Maybe. It was more. We talked a bit, though.
Yeah. And, I mean, I actually like that. You know, like, most actors, they are kind of at the mercy of producers and directors, and you not really want to challenge them. But I felt this, like, filmmaking... Making films, it's kind of a collaborative art. It's never one person that is making that stuff. I mean, I love that you express your reservations, and rather than just, you know, okay, let me keep quiet. I don't want to piss seller off, that kind of stuff. And even when you called Amaka, I was with Amaka at that point, and, you know, it was, we felt your frustration.
You guys were together, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about, like, the film. Is that?
I hope I didn't say anything bitchy.
No, like, I mean, even if you said something bitchy, like, we know where it's coming from. So it's not just about the whatever you say. It's coming from somewhere.
So the thing is, for me, on your set and for that script, like I told you, it still boils down to why I do certain things and why I would take certain scripts. The script was, I loved the script. It was simple. I always knew it was not supposed to be a gang kind of thing. It was supposed to be like a relative story, an everyday story. Okay, a restaurant owner, young lady who's doing well for herself, who wants to expand, all of that. We all have those kind of dreams. Right now, I have a jewelry online store. And it's not where I want it to be, but I want it to get to a certain level where, I mean, it's a brand on its own.
Yeah.
You get? So it's literally a story of a dreamer. You get that kind of thing. And then there's this guy coupled with the whole little romance thing, which is a normal daily thing. As we're living our life, some guy's going to like you, some girl's going to like you.
Yeah.
You build relationships from there. So I liked how down-to-earth the script was. And then it's Amaka buzzed me up. This is somebody I had worked with before, and I know Amaka is a no-nonsense kind of person. She's very blunt, you get. So there are certain people that will hit me up now and tell me, go and jump in the lake for this script, and I will do it because I already know that naturally they have my best interest at heart. You get? And I feel like Amaka will not buzz me for a script she knows I can't do. Simple. So when I got the script and I found out that, okay, it was you I was working, like I said, I had never worked with you before and I didn't actually even know you as well. What complemented my safety with Amaka was the fact that you were simple as well. You didn't come in with the whole, I'm a director, I'm doing this, I need to do this.
are you down or, you know, you weren't hawk on it. You were just very simple. We had simple conversations. When we met, we spoke about the script. I followed you to go and for during pre-production. We went to the venue.
Looking for some locations, yeah.
You literally opened up your space, you get. So from the beginning, you already gave me an idea that I can be real with you. Do you get?
Yeah.
So me telling you, me talking to you at the end of the day is not something I would do with everybody. I would observe if I can, so that I don't cross boundaries, not because of fear, but because when you observe some people, you know some people who, you know the people that will not take it as a they'll take the criticism judgmentally as opposed to constructive criticism. So when I first saw the video, first of all, I knew the challenges on set. I mean, we had scenes that we would do like almost 20 times because of, I don't know whether it was because of there was a shortage in certain equipment that you wanted or something, but if it wasn't, like, just basically working with what you had at that, which was, like you said, you knew where you wanted it to be, so which was not enough. Or maybe the people handling it, I don't know, because I'm not really technical and all. Huh. But I know that it's just like a scene where if you have three cameras, you won't need to do that particular scene two times.
Yeah.
I mean, five times. You just do it twice, close up, wide, because there's a camera covering every angle you get. Or sound. We didn't have the insertive one. We had the boom mic.
Yeah.
So if you're not too close to the boom, you won't be heard. You get. So there are those kind of challenges that would make set kind of tiring. But I think because of the relationship, but just because you took care of us, basically, you already made sure food was available and all of those kind of things, and we had a good conversation and stuff. So like I said, I had this. It's easy for me to pick out the good from the stress. Now, I didn't know that because, again, I'm not technical. I'm not that technical. I try small, but I'm not that technical. I don't know where is too much, where you cannot, like I say, editing is not magic. I don't know where would is a lapse that edits cannot cover. I don't know those kind of things. So in my mind, no matter what had gone on set, or no matter the flaws or the what we had to compromise on, when they are editing, those things will be sorted out. So when I got the video, and I was already hyped. I mean, you posted, oh, it's coming out preview, and I was already down and everything. And I got the video and I watched it, and it just hit me different because the energy. I even told my friend, because we watched it together.
Yeah.
She was like, it wasn't bad, but like I said, the things that were important, we lost it in either continuity, sound, all those kind of things. Somebody watching it, I knew the script, so I understood how it flowed. Anybody else that didn't know the script would probably be confused. And it was so simple, so it shouldn't have been that. Yeah. That's why I was concerned enough to call you and talk to you about it.
Yeah.
Because at that point, it was now a situation of, it's already done, right?
Yeah.
And the noise had been kind of made already. So the only thing I can do right now is give feedback. Any other thing I would have done is not to post. That's the truth. I have every decision to post. But I thought about it. I saw the hard work everybody put in. I saw how everybody was hands down, from makeup, Jackie. I mean, we were all in our spaces and just really good to ourselves. You get?
Yeah.
And so when you're on a set like that, you don't use the technical flaw to cover up that. Like, I'm not the person that believes in, it's just like, I don't believe, I love, money is great, but I can't love money, because at the end of the day, what's important is the people. There are places where money won't get you to. And one shoot, one technical flaw, one thing that is not so great, some people will say, oh, okay, it's too, it doesn't fit where you are at, or blah, 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 whatever. It doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, I know how much everybody put work there. And I could tell that you knew already that there was some issue. I could already tell.
Yeah.
You did not act like you were oblivious to it. You get. So I wasn't talking with someone who's dogged and proud or stuff like that. So it was easy for me to let my observations know.
And you know, like, it's something that you see films on Netflix and you're like, Did everybody just ignore this thing?
Yes.
When we watch these things, you know, we see the issues. And on those films, they are kind of like bigger deals, you know. So maybe there was more money and you can't afford to... You can't afford
let
to...
Let this fly by. Why wasn't this noted? Why wasn't this... Because, I mean, you have a whole three phases.
Yeah.
Pre-production, production, and post-production.
Yeah.
Before it goes on a big scale, large scale like that. So if you don't check it during pre-production, while you're doing the production, you can adjust some things. Or if you know that you're falling short in pre-production, you immediately start making adjustments during production that would will help you doing edits.
Yeah.
I don't know so much, but then I edit my own videos for my brand. So I know that anything I miss out at the initial that I can't get back, I start thinking of how to change the dynamic a little bit.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't change the edit completely or what I'm trying to get at. But so that when you're watching it, you're not going to now see, like, you'll be so clear-cut that, this one, it did not wake up. This one, no, they did not adjust. The lighting is going from, no. There are a lot of movies on Netflix right now. As much as I'm in the Nigerian film industry,
yeah,
I cannot clap for. Because integrity is everything. And you know why I say this? Because the movies that I'm talking about, they're big budget movies. They're movies that they're putting in money for.
Yeah.
And I know that in this same Nigeria, there's so many talented directors. There's so many scripts there that if they come out to life and somebody just taps into them, we would have stories that are shaking the world. Uh-huh. But nobody's looking for those people. Nobody's looking for those stories. Everybody's just trying to do the same in a different way and spend so much money on it. And then we're still making mistakes with the output. We're putting a lot more movies. Majority of the movies that Nigeria is putting on Netflix are portraying us to not have so much content. I'm not saying it is all of it. I don't know if we as Nigerians, our marketers and the heads over there, up there, that are controlling the affairs of our relations in terms of international marketing in the industry and all. I don't know if they're actually paying attention to what they are doing, because I keep hearing people keep saying, there's nothing. It's not Nigerian movie. It's not a Nigerian movie. This one is about some. I've only heard a couple of. Everything is marriage. Something about marriage. Something like. But stories are so diverse. Like we have so much. Like we have so much stories. We have so many stories. We have stories that have to do with high school girls. We have stories that are talking about the issues, the social political issues in Nigeria and all of that. And I feel like if we push out stories more like that on these platforms, we will get more, like, there will be more attention on us positively. Because is it not what is doing you at home? It is what is doing you at home that you have, like, the one that you know, that you understand, that you can clearly go out and boast about. But we're doing more of, we're trying to do so much more of Western, we're taking the Western stories, twisting it a little bit and pushing it back there for them. Yeah, they're doing perfectly with their stories. They're even reaching out into African stories. Look at Black Panther has gone into Africa, like literally extended into Africa. Somebody is thinking, and look at how much Black Panther got. The accolade, the attention, the net worth, everything. Black Panther, I feel like, I don't know the gross, but in terms of all the Marvel stories, I know that Black Panther made so much. It was a literal hit for the world. Because the Black community was ready for it. They didn't expect it. So when it came, it was like, wow, finally, we have this. So they are thinking about that, and we're not thinking about pushing our stories out there, like our real stories out there. Occasionally, we can throw in those fancy ones and stuff, which is great. Like I'm not saying those things don't matter. Those are real stories, so they are happening because we're in Nigeria, we're living the Western life. We're not traditionalists, you get. But in terms of depth, we are not doing so much. I think that more directors are submitting their films that are very deliberate to film festivals. But that's the problem.
Yeah.
When you submit to film festival, it doesn't come out, or it doesn't come out early. Sometimes it could take a year plus before you can even show it. And on what platforms? It's not like it's going to go straight to DSTV or all of that. So we're still not watching the things that are really being pushed, the real stories that are pushed out there. But we're doing great, to be honest. I'm glad to be part of the industry at this time. Where if you keep pushing and if you keep doing, like, just staying on your lane and being deliberate about this art, loving it, I'm pushing for it, it would definitely love you back. Like, now, thank God, because of internet, nobody needs a particular person to be noticed. Just put your stuff on the internet. Just be seen, be visible, and somebody will push it. Somebody will pick it up and like it and post it. And from there, maybe Hollywood is calling you or something. Someone big is calling you. So I think we're doing great, but we're starting to accept ourselves more. Acting is no longer like a taboo. Directing, pursuing a creative talent is no longer joblessness. So we've come a long way, and we're on Netflix. Look at me, small me. I'm on Netflix like 3 times now. So it can only get better.
Yeah. The golden rule, for what it's worth, I would say it's leading to something else. So the fact that I decided to release it, put it out there, something is coming from it, and with time we'll all know what that is.
That's great news.
At this point, I'll ask you, what in this industry do you want to improve?
Appreciation for the talent. I would really love that to improve. I would really, really love that to improve, because there's nothing, till today, I'm still one of the people saying, when I blow. And it's not about blowing and becoming famous. But my own blow is, I know that there's a spot, there's a leverage point where somebody's not going to come and tell me that they need me to do a job because, and they would, they don't need to pay me, or they need to pay me scrums because of exposure. I'm not anywhere yet. Yes, because I know where I want to be. But I'm not, I didn't just wake up from bed and just do one film. And to everything I have put, I have done, I have, by the grace of God, put my energy, my time, my resources. I've gone broke on this chasing this purpose, because it's not a dream for me. I didn't dream it. So chasing this purpose, I've gone broke. I've been misconceived. I've suffered some personal things that I feel like at this point, nobody should tell me that they need me to do a job and they can just throw something at me and I should be fine. Or tell me that they're going to give me exposure. Don't expose me. I will be okay. Don't expose me. That's my real hurt, because, like I said, coming to Lagos has made me know that people are fighting so hard for fame in this industry, as opposed to for the vision, for the dream, because a lot of them are not supposed to be in this industry. A lot of, and the world is encouraging it, because everything is now, you sleep, you can wake up and you're famous. You enter one house, you're famous. And then these people go into those houses and come back outside, they put them on the projects where you would kill yourself for, and they're there.
And some of them can't do their craft properly.
Because they're not, and it's not because, and that's the thing, we now start bashing them. This one cannot act. They're not supposed to be actors. But they become brands, influencers, and you just throw them on projects. And somebody that will work their ass off and put all they have, because of this is a vision for them, this is a purpose for them. You push them aside or call them for extra or tell them, oh, we'll just give you this, or we expose you. What? So now you now find out that the people that really love this art, they are no longer just pushing for it. They are now looking for how to get famous first.
Yeah.
So that they cannot be appreciated in what they love to do. And that's not what I want in my life. I don't want to be famous first, because the aim for me is not fame. I want to use my purpose. I want to be able to make an impact through this so much that I create a ground for others who would be coming. So I create, so that people who are struggling, not just in the acting field, there are a lot of young people who are pushing for what they believe, singers, shoemakers, creative people, artists that have some of them a dream. Some of them, they know that this is what they are meant to do.
Yeah.
But every day, Nigeria keeps pushing them back. Every day, somebody is telling them, no, we can't put you here. We need to put somebody that has a face. It's happened to me too. They've called me for a production, and 2 days before I come on set, after everything has been done, they've measured me, blah, blah, blah. They call me 2 days before I'm supposed to actually act and tell me, I'm sorry, we have to let you go. Why? I had a relationship with a person that was friendly enough for the person to tell me that the board decided to choose a face. What is a face? Obviously, a face is the person that is having how many millions of likes.
Yeah.
So that they can push the film. I have no problem with that, because we're still in a Nigerian system where this one wants to make the money for what they're putting out there. Uh-huh. So, okay, put the face. One or two. Don't go and put 20 faces and throw the real people who can do the work into corners.
Yeah.
Just say hi, go back. No. We need to start appreciating our artists. We need to start appreciating talent. We don't appreciate talent.
Yeah.
And when we see talent, we try to abuse it. Those are why girls will keep getting gestures from directors when they're not supposed to. That's not what you're called there to do. If you want to hook up with somebody, go and find someone who is professionally going to give you that. Don't look for someone. Do you know how many young people, young ladies have come out of this industry or pulled out from this industry or just been discouraged even by their parents, because everybody thinks that in order to make it, you need to sleep with somebody. Because it's happening. It hasn't happened to me, thank God, but it's happening. So you have a dream and you're pushing for it, and somebody is going to tell you, well, in order to, you know, you have to get down. What kind of rubbish?
Yeah.
Give the accolades to the people that have gone to get their face. No problem. But appreciate the talent. Pay me something. Pay me my dues. Don't owe me. Do you know I have done productions that I have been owed and not paid for? And I didn't go looking for them because my struggle is not going to be about that person. I know where I'm going to. But there are people who this is their source of livelihood. Do you get? I can close my eye and drink Gary last because I know I'm not going to go and chase anybody for money that they know they should pay me and they did not pay me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not everybody is like that. And then when you now finally now get there, somebody will now say, I did not know you. Wow, she's so new. She just came up. Wow. Uh-huh. You don't know the hustle. You don't know the story. We keep fighting every day to just make sure that we're on course.
Yeah.
So yeah, appreciation is really important. Stop calling people for jobs and not paying them or throwing stupid figures at their faces and telling me, except I have a relationship with you. And that's the truth. Any production I would do I would have to compromise and pay right now by the grace of God is a production that I have a relationship with the person or I have looked and observed on every angle. Me, myself, I would decide that this is exposure. Not you. I would decide for me that this is exposure. No. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get there someday.
Yeah, we will. Not someday. You can start today. It's once more. If you call me and tell me this is a low budget film, and you tell me you want to pay me 15K, then you're joking, because at least even if you are saying a low budget film, before you come out and say, I want to do a film, you should have considered that you're not going to film this film by yourself.
Yeah.
So for you to be bold enough to say, I'm ready to let this film out, You should have considered to some extent the person you're going to bring into that production.
Uh-huh.
If you're going to be taking care of their costumes completely, as well as their feeding, their welfare, totally. Not that they are going to be paying for themselves and then still give them something to tell them, I appreciate your work. That's fine. But you see people calling people on set, you say low budget, you're not even taking care of welfare. The person is going to come themselves. They're not going to eat. They're going to look for food to eat. Then you carry 5K and give somebody's child.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Jasmine, for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much. And thank you for the platform, too, because, I mean, More talks like this need to happen.
We have come to the end of this episode. Please remember to leave a rating and a review. You can send in your questions and feedback on social media. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at SenegalFilm, and the podcast also on Instagram and Twitter at the Niger Film Pod. See you on the next episode. Have a good one.